Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's talk is with David M. Weiss, who brought two films to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and Film Invasion LA. And today we get to hear his answers to the four questions, which are, very quickly, name your favorite films, name a film that's underrated, name a film that's overrated, and name a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Now, before we jump into this, you should watch his films. If you go to discoverindiefilm.com and look up the posting for this podcast episode, you will see links to watch both his amazing short film shot in Haiti called Cap and his super entertaining film Black Luck that is on Amazon Prime. After we hear David's answers, I'll tell you about more about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and Film Invasion LA and some other things. But until then, let's just talk to David.
Three favorites. I think with everybody, you even hate to do it because you're like, there's so many I think I'm probably leaving behind. But number one would be The Godfather. And that's probably just a given for a lot of people, I assume. But for me, that really impacted me. I like that film a lot. Tree of Life was probably visually the most stunning movie I've ever seen for me. So, and you know, that Terrence Malick and in that film was a genius. I mean, just the way it shot, Chivo shot it. And it was just, it had so much energy to the motion of the moments. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of talking. It was all this kind of, just movement through the frame. Honestly, it was blown away. The first time I saw that, I was just shocked by it. I had to see it. I watched it like 12 times in a row. Cause I was like, how did they pull all this off and create so much energy? So it was cool. The third one I went back and forth with,
It's tough when you only have one space left.
Yeah, I know.
You could tell me the two that were battling over it.
Okay.
You know, if you want to go to four, do it.
Okay. Well, so three would be Django Unchained. And I don't know what it was about that film. I told you the Tarantino story, right? Did I tell you the Tarantino story?
I don't know if you did.
That had to do with Film Invasion LA or no? No? Did I tell you that?
I don't think so.
Oh, so I had been at Holly Shorts. I'll just do this really, really quick. This is going to be the abbreviated version. But I had been at Holly Shorts with a film, and I was walking back to the Roosevelt, and I walked into the Pig and Whistle, which is on Hollywood Boulevard. And I walked in, went to the bar. They were playing blues music, and I just wanted to veg out. It was towards the end of the festival. Walked in, walked up to the bar, and ordered a drink, turned to my left, and Quentin Tarantino was standing right next to me. And I was like, is this really Quentin? So I literally turned around to the guys behind me, and I said, is that Quentin Tarantino? And they're like, yes, it is Quentin Tarantino. And there must have been like, honestly, there were 30 people in this bar. There was nobody in this place. And I turned back, and I'm like, hey, Quentin, you know, my name's Dave Weiss. I'm here from, you know, the Midwest. I got a film at the Holly Shorts over here. And he's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And I was really cool about it. Shook my hand. And I got my drink, and he went and sat down. I went and sat down, and I sat down like one table behind him because there was nobody on that side of the bar. And I'm like, well, I don't care. There was no other places to sit, and I'm not here to stare at him. I'm not going to gawk at him. I just want to sit and relax and listen to music. But there's a pole that runs down the middle of that bar, and then on the other side of that pole were supermodels. There must have been 12 of them, like two tables back to back. And they were right across from him. So he was sitting on the one side, they were sitting on the other side. And so I just assumed they're all together, right? Like this, he just brought this entourage in, which I thought was kind of odd because he was sitting on the opposite side of the pole. But then I started talking to this young lady next to me, and I said, why'd you guys come here? And she goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you're with Quentin, aren't you? And she said, oh, no, we just find out where Quentin's at, and then we show up. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so, like, you know, this is like, you know, kind of groupie in a way or something. And
yeah, I'm like, okay. Like official Tarantino stalkers?
Yeah, I guess so, evidently. So, but she, of course, she's an actress, and we talk a little bit. And so she's going to head out. She's with this guy, and I'm thinking that's her boyfriend. And she goes up to, she goes, hey, you know, here's my card. You know, if you're ever in LA again, I'd love to get together and have lunch. So that sounds great. And talk to her. And so she goes up to Quentin. She goes, Quentin, I'm leaving. He's like, oh, okay. And she goes, well, I'll see you. And they come up. I think they're just going to hug. And they just start making out. I mean, like, full on. And I've crossed over into a parallel universe, and this is the Devil's Den, right? And I'm in like this gothic, and it was just this weird, it was like, what is going on here, you know? And you know, of course it's LA, so like it shouldn't be that big a deal to me, but either way. And so she walks out, and the band finishes up, they make last call. I walk back up to the bar, order another drink. The lead singer comes up, and I'm like, and they were amazing. It was just like a blues band. I don't remember the name of them, but they were incredible. And I said, you guys were incredible. I said, honestly, I'd love to shoot some music video for you guys sometime if I'm ever out here. If you guys just pay to get me out here, I'll come out and shoot a video for you. And I'd just love to hang out, right? And he's like, where are you from? I said, oh, I'm from the Midwest. And so we start talking, and I said, I'm at the festival. And he's like, I said, I can't believe Quentin's here. And he's like, oh, you don't know Quentin? And I'm like, well, no, I don't know Quentin. And he's like, oh, come on, man. So we walk over, and he introduces me. And, you know, of course, he walks up. Quinn's like, awesome set. You know, and they hug and stuff. And he goes, Quinn, I want you to meet my good friend Dave Wise. He's from, you know, from Nebraska. He's out here, you know, in the film festival. And then it was a different Quinn because, you know, there's an introduction. And so, and then now it's like us one-on-one talking. And I was honest with him. I'm like, hey, man, I really wasn't really into you. I mean, Pulp Fiction was cool and stuff, but I really wasn't into you. But then I saw Django. And I love Django. And so he's like, oh, why did you love Django so much? And so then I said, I started telling, you know, it's anamorphic and I love the way this was shot and the way Jamie Foxx played this. And we just started, and we literally talked for like 15 minutes. Right. And I said to him at the end of it, I said, I could tell the conversation and the girls were getting pissed because I was getting all of his attention too. And so, so I said to him at the end, I said, Quentin, you know, I want a PA for you. I'll go anywhere you're at. I'll do it for free. I'll just show up. You just tell me how to get there and I'll PA for you, you know? And he said, David, you're never going to PA for me. In 3 years from now, you'll be back here with your feature film and you and I will be partying together. And 3 years and one day later, Black Luck premiered at Film Invasion LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 But I didn't get a party with him, but I have a great story to go along with it. So
you do. Wow. That is a good story. Yeah. And Django, and so back to your list. So Django, you weren't a big Tarantino fan, and then no. Django just resonated.
Yeah, something about it. I think that the music was so good that he picked, and it just had this, you know, authenticity on some levels, but then not on the others. Like that, he has that surreal edge to him, too. It's kind of, I don't know if it's sadistic, you could probably say, too, but like it just, there was something, I really just enjoyed the film. I love the opening scene. When they're all walking and, you know, those guys come upon the dentist. And so, you know, it just, I thought Christopher was great too in it. And so it was just, overall, I thought it was just a fantastic film and I couldn't stop watching it. And I knew that, you know, it's a great film when that's the case. So, and
I agree. I mean, I think it's, I like just about all his films, but, but I think it might be one of the more, it's funny, two podcasts ago, someone put Django on his top three.
Really? Fast?
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of people don't see it as one of his best, although I think it's really close to flawless.
Yeah.
I got to admit after that very ending end part is where you,
yes.
Like,
yes.
I think if the movie ended with Jamie Foxx leaving and he never encountered Tarantino and those two other dudes and then went back, I kind of think that's the perfect film.
Right.
I don't need the extra stuff at the end, but it's still a freaking brilliant movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what was the other one that was fighting for Django's place?
So there was one film that I thought when I was in the theaters, I saw it the first time and then I've watched it over and over again. That I thought to myself, this is the kind of movies I want to make. And this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but Man on Fire, Tony Scott, I thought that was Tony Scott's best film he ever did.
Yeah, some people name check Man on Fire as underrated and tough. Yeah. Because, Man on Fire is a special film.
Yeah, just the way it was shot. I think that Tony was so visual, too, that, you know, like he had such a visual take on things that that's why that film was so great. And it was
I agree. And I think he gets beautiful. A little bit of short shrift because his brother's Ridley.
Yes.
So like when people talk about the great films of all time, Tony's stuff was always a little more commercial.
Yeah, agreed.
So
agreed.
People see like the artist brother and like the brother, the blockbuster brother.
Right. Agreed.
But really, they're both great.
Yeah, no, I love Gladiator probably would be in the top 10. So, I mean, I get it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Gladiator too, but for some reason that movie, I just think the visuals were so great. And Denzel Washington was amazing in it. And you know, even the little actress too. Oh gosh.
Wasn't that Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Fanning. Yeah. Yeah. And she was amazing. She was like a little adult, the best way I could describe her. And, I thought it was well done. And it just, I think for me, the visuals were so incredible. And for some reason I'm drawn to, and they say, pick the three films that if you came home tonight and turn on the TV, what are three films that you would have to finish watching? And if you name those three films, if you analyze them, you'll figure something out about yourself. And I all the films that I usually pick are something to do with redemption in some way. Man on Fire was about redeeming himself. You know, Tree of Life was different than that, but Man on Fire definitely was that way. And some of the other films I'm going to name are that way too. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. Good list. So now is an underrated film.
The American.
Oh, shame on me. I've had that. I've had a copy of that since it came out, and I can't tell you how many trips I've taken it with me. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. That film, the pacing in that film, the holding of shots on that film, and just the simplicity of that film, plus the beauty of Italy. I love that film. That's old school spy film making in a modern day take. So,
makes me want to see it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And, I really got to call my own bluff on that. Cause I've had it forever. And, now comes overrated.
I know. I hate to do this one. Cause it, like,
well, and you can, some people pass, some people say there's no such thing as, you know, as overrated because all film has artistic value.
Yeah.
Or I also have the pitch, which is you're not saying it's a bad film.
No.
You could love it. You're just saying, you know what, this won an Oscar when it didn't deserve it, or this, you know, I've heard it. Like you put Godfather 1, obviously, on your top three. I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. But I think Godfather 2, I've heard a lot of people say it's better than 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why actually Godfather 2 is battling to me my overrated. Even though it's great. It's great. Yeah. But I've had people tell me it's better than number 1. I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah. No.
So anyway, that's my pitch for overrated for the kind-hearted people who just have a hard time with it.
Well, okay, let me just say this. This film is fantastic. It was amazing and it was groundbreaking on some levels. And I loved it. It's not that I didn't love it. I just don't know if it was the winner for me personally, but either way. So The Shape of Water. So I just didn't know. I thought it was really, really good and I loved it, but I wasn't like, oh, I'm blown away. I can't get enough of this film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really cool adult fable.
Right. Agreed.
I was watching it going, I was kind of like, wow, how did the balls to make that film?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And for it to, you know, moderately work. So, I mean, that's where it not moderately, it worked, right?
Yeah, but
it works. I mean, it was incredibly well done. I just didn't, some people came to me like, oh my gosh, it's the greatest thing ever. And then I went and saw it and I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. I don't know if for me personally, but you know, that's, all art is subjective, so take it for what it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, great and film. He's a genius. A genius, but I know that was also one of the why couldn't he have won the awards for one of the other films? But,
yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
He's been perfect so many times.
So many times they make up for it, I think, later on.
Personally. I know, isn't it? Yeah. I know, like the best example when Pacino won an award for Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Yeah. Dick Tracy's when he gets his Oscar?
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, the last one is a lesser-known film that people should seek out.
Okay, so I've got two, if this one's maybe two. I don't know.
Yeah, feel free.
Okay.
There's no one's going to hammer me if I let you have two.
Okay, so Out of the Furnace.
I don't know it.
Okay. Scott Cooper movie. And it's got Christian Bale, Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson in it. And it's a steel mill town movie, but it's blue collar. It's kind of a blue gritty film. Just shot really well. The music's fantastic. The acting was amazing in it. I thought Casey Affleck was incredible in it. And I absolutely, for me, I mean, that's top 30 films. It really influenced me on some levels, even their color palette and the way they did things. It was gritty, cause, you know, but some of that too, I grew up in a small town that was a packing plant town. So we had like 5 packing plants in my town. So I grew up in a very, very, very blue collar town.
You grew up in a blue collar town with parents who were educators. So,
yes.
So it's like you were probably a little bit of a fish out of water, I would think.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. So it was rough. You know, this is no big deal, but I was in a lot of fist fights growing up, you know, sure. A lot. Yeah. I mean, I think I counted 20 by the time I graduated high school. So like, you know, it was a tough place to grow up. And so that film kind of, to me, represents a little bit of that and that grittiness of, you know, where you live and what you have to go through to survive and then overcoming, you know, your own adversities. And it was, it's a tragedy too, in a way. I would highly recommend that film. It's just, there's some dark parts in there. You just got to put up with some stuff, but cause I've told it to people and they're like, man, that beginning was so dark. You know, it was, but overall the storyline and the filmmaking was really well. And, you know, Scott Cooper's gone on and done some really great films. You know, Crazy Heart and some other amazing films. So he's, you know, a really well-respected director now. So,
yeah. And you had a second one or?
Well, Thunderheart, but I don't know if you've heard that one either. That was an old film shot by Roger Deakins shot it. It's Val Kilmer and he goes to the Indian reservation. I think Wind River.
I remember it. I don't remember seeing it, but
yeah. Thunderheart. It was a really well done. And, I think it stands the test of time. And I think Wind River kind of reminds me of that, Taylor Sheridan's, feature, which is another great film, but you know, he has that kind of style to it. But Thunderheart's an old film. If you want to see an older film, that's really well done. Deakins shot it. And, it's got a great storyline. Val Kilmer is fantastic in it.
And those were David Weiss's answers to the Discover Indie Film 4 questions. I want to thank David for coming in, actually. Phoning in, we did that over Skype, I believe. Might have been FaceTime. And we had a great interview talking about him and his films. And then he answered the 4 questions, which with some really good answers. And like I said in the intro, make sure to go to discoverindiefilm.com and catch the links to David's films. Just go to the episode 144 or 145, and the links are right there. All right, now the housekeeping. The housekeeping is, first of all, Discover Indie Film is this podcast, and then it is also a TV series on Prime Video. Just go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film, and there are 4 seasons now, 4 seasons that are anthologies of some of the best short films you're going to see on the festival circuit. And now that I've mentioned the festival circuit, hey, Sherman Oaks Film Festival is every November, and you can learn about it at shermanoaksff.com or on social media, it's at shermanoaksff. And Film Invasion Los Angeles is every June. And you can learn about that going to filminvasionla.com. And on social media, it's at filminvasionla. And I don't think I have anything else to tell you, so I want to thank David Weiss again for taking the time. And thank you for listening.